If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North. I-29 in Tiffany Springs or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Goff breaks the huddle, puts Akers on his left, calls for it from the shotgun. Back to throw, swings it left. It's Akers who takes it in! The catch at the one and the touchdown in front of Kevin Minter, the linebacker. Van Jefferson first. Now Cam Akers with his first touchdown as a Ram. And LA is back on the high side, 23-17. This, the go-ahead field goal attempt with 2:40 on the clock. Good snap. The hold is down. Gay stripes it right down the middle. 27-24 with 2:36 remaining. The Rams have a field goal lead, and they'll trust their defense against Tom Brady.
That's just bad read, and Cam was running up the seam, and the last second I saw the safety coming over and just, popped it over Cam's head. So just a bad read, bad throw, decision, everything.
I think our guys are doing a good job handling them. It's what it is. You only control what you can control. So they've done a good job with that. They've done a good job with maintaining focus. They also understand what we do. We play basketball. Dealing with the COVID virus is a part of life. So we have to deal with that as well. And just taking the necessary precautions every day.
And now, a man who's already in his fat pants preparing for Thanksgiving, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Jed. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Got to have them, right? Elastic band on Thanksgiving. Isn't that the deal? Or are you a get the suit on, tie, sweater, got to look all dapper? I know how you like to get dressed up, Jed. Where do you go? Do you go sweats for the Thanksgiving meal, or do you go like fancy pants?
I normally go casual, like around the house until I get ready to go. But then once I go and meet with the family or whoever, I'm actually like dress up, wear a sweater, no hat, collared shirt, like slack pants. I normally go tennis shoes because actually at my mom's memorial service, my nice dress shoes broke. So I don't have any dress shoes anymore. So I have to go tennis shoes.
So is dress up for you still seventh grade picture day? You know, some khakis, a collar shirt, and a sweater?
Yeah, that's you pretty much awesome. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Which is, I haven't bought any of this stuff in like 12 years, so there might be like holes in it. There's definitely cat hair all over it. So it's Jed dressed up.
It's a Jed level is what you're saying. About DefCon Jed.
It's about how much effort I put into the program is about how dressed up I get.
We know what that is. Holy cow, that is some wrinkly khakis and a sweater with holes in it. That's for damn sure. That is for damn sure. It is the program as we inch ever closer to Thanksgiving. If you're taking some time off, I hope you enjoy it. Hope you travel safely. Do everything you can to keep everybody safe. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. All right. We got good vaccines coming on. Did another one announced yesterday? So there's good stuff coming. Let's just hunker down, right? Hunker down. I was just alerted. I'll be wearing my dress cargo shorts. Sean, friend of the program, notes dress cargo shorts.
It is supposed to be like 55. So hey, man, go with it. Whatever works.
Yeah. Listen, I'm all for it. Whatever your traditions are, we salute you. And we hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. I know we're losing folks little by little as people take extra time off around the holidays. So thanks for joining us, however you may be doing it here in the program. We do have a lot coming your way today. Jed said, he's actually kind of proud of what we put together today. A Herculean effort getting Tim Grunhardt on the program. That was huge. The hours and hours it took to secure Tim Grunhardt, big time. Get right there for Jed Marshall. Eric Eager, another tough guy to get. Pro Football Focus, he managed to get that done. We're proud of Jed for making that happen. We are going to speak with one Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star. Sam can be a tricky one. be a tricky one. So big lineup. Sounds like you'd like us to talk some football today.
Perhaps. It does seem like one of the more topical things going on in the city.
Being that every topic I have down is either football or football with Sporting Kansas City, I think we're going to deliver. I think we're going to deliver on that promise. So a lot of football coming your way. But as we always say, Missouri, K-State, KU, Sporting, Royals, Chiefs, always a topic here in the program. Any of the local schools or teams, we're happy to discuss. 913-3810-810. We had Monday Night Football occur last night. And, you know, the subject, it seems like every time Tom Brady plays, he's the subject. My mom said, why is everything always all about Brady? And I said, well, you know, he is 43 and still playing quarterback at a high level after having won 6 championships and appeared in 9 Super Bowls. He is somewhat of a relative figure. In the world of the NFL, if he's playing, it's a story in and of itself just based on his accomplishments. It's secondly a story based upon his age. But he is certainly a, you know, like I'm looking right now, First Take Extra or whatever is on, and it says, do you still trust Tom Brady? 3rd loss in primetime this season. Tied for most such losses in a season for his career. So let me put it to you this way. Do you trust Tom Brady? Right? I'm going to put a spin on that. Actually, this is the spin I want to put on it. How many quarterbacks can win a Super Bowl this year? Now, you can call that how many teams can win a Super Bowl, right? Or you can say how many quarterbacks. I think there's a couple of ways to put this, and I'll give you several different ways to look at it. Excuse me, if you'd like to be a part of the conversation at 913-3810-810. I'll give you several ways to look at it, and I can throw a quarterback at you. We're going to throw some around here. There is like, okay, is this guy good enough to win a Super Bowl, right? Is Alex Smith good enough to win a Super Bowl? Well, there's the if he played for the 85 Bears, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Did you know that Jim McMahon has less, think about this, has less career touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes? Now, they've each won a Super Bowl. You're like, well, yeah, I mean, Mahomes won a Super Bowl, and McMahon wasn't, you know, a 10-year vet when he won it. So, it makes sense when you reverse engineer it, right? You go, okay, yeah, I see where it is. I see how we get there. Jim McMahon threw, in his entire career, 100 touchdowns and 90 interceptions. He was an iconic figure in 1985, his 4th year in the league when at age 26. He guided the Bears to a championship by throwing in 13 games, 2,400 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 11 INTs. Jim McMahon was a creation of the media, of his own doing, and really just game-managed a club with a Hall of Fame running back, great offensive line, and one of, if not the best defense that's ever been assembled in the history of the National Football League. Right? So from that standpoint, could Alex Smith win a Super Bowl quarterback in that team? Yes, he could. Absolutely could. So there's that way. Okay, let's look at it that way. There's looking at it, could Alex Smith win a Super Bowl playing for Washington football team? I'm going to tell you no, they're not good enough. He might actually get to the playoffs, but no, they're not. That's a whole other story about the NFC East. But no, he's not good enough to win a Super Bowl playing for that team. So who's around him matters. That's why if you want to take it as what teams, I get it. Because you can have, you know, are the Ravens good enough? Is Lamar Jackson good enough? Is Lamar Jackson good enough on that team? I think that's a you know, different ways to look at it, but to get to really drill down and get to the final conclusion. Is Lamar Jackson a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Right now, I'll tell you no. He's not. He can't pass well enough. We know you got to throw situations, which to me is something that every quarterback has to do. Patrick Mahomes had to do it, and he won all 3 of his playoff games by double digits. But against the San Francisco 49ers, he had to throw when they knew he had to throw, and he still had to be successful, and he did it. And I don't think you can go through 3, or now everybody but one team on each side is going to have to play 4 games. I don't think you can go through 3 or 4 games without having to throw when they know you got to throw. Be successful throwing when they know that you have to throw. And I don't think Lamar Jackson's there. Now, could Lamar Jackson win a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens? Yes, he absolutely can. Because I do think the Ravens are good enough, if they get their act together, to play every game from in front. Can they win four in a row playing from in front, or at least within a score to where they can continue to pound the rock? Yes. If they have Dobbins and Ingram back, which they don't now, Gus Edwards will be their lead back in this game. If they have those guys, yes, they have the kind of firepower it takes to play around Lamar Jackson, and I think Lamar Jackson can win a team, can win a Super Bowl with that team, right? They're not the favorite. They're not your pick, but he can do it, right? Then there's this standpoint. So, let's play that one out a little bit. Like, I want to point out, these quarterbacks won Super Bowls. Jim McMahon, Doug Williams, Jeff Hostetler, Mark Rippon, Trent Dilfer, and Nick Foles. By the way, four of those six quarterbacks I just mentioned, who I would call quite possibly the six worst quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl, four of those quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes already has more career touchdown passes than. Four of them! I mentioned McMahon with 100. Doug Williams likewise has 100. Jeff Hostetler in his career threw 94 touchdowns. Nick Foles, right? This one's not so hard to believe because he's not that old. But Nick Foles has 81 career touchdowns. Right? Patrick Mahomes has thrown more touchdowns than Nick Foles. I will tell you that the other two names I mentioned, Trent Dilfer with 113 and Mark Rippon with 115, will be passed by Patrick Mahomes this year, as long as he stays healthy and the weapons he's throwing to stay healthy. He's only right now 10 behind Trent Dilfer and 15 behind Mark Rippon. So I point this out to say, okay, as we look around as to who are the contenders now 10 weeks in, who can actually contend, who could actually win the Super Bowl, keep in mind guys like Mark Rippon, Trent Dilfer, have won championships. Is there a defense that's that good? You know, I would make you a case that Ben Roethlisberger, at this point in his career, may very well be one of those guys, right? If he wins one, if he gets another Super Bowl, Ben Roethlisberger is going to be winning it in a year that, putting up good numbers, 2,500, 24-5, yards per attempt way down from where it was when he used to just let it fly. I'll make you a case that Ben Roethlisberger's actual quarterback play, I think the weaponry around him is fantastic. They got a top-shelf running back and Connor. Couple of guys, I think Snell can be good in a backup role. Offensive line still strong and a lot of weapons as wide receiver that make those numbers look pretty good, right? So, yeah, the Steelers can do it. They can win. How many teams do you think, Jed? I'll give you first crack. How many teams, like, who we know all the bottom feeders, right? The Jets aren't a contender, right? The Pats, I would think you would say, are not a contender, right?
No, I wouldn't think that the Pats are.
Are the Dolphins at 6-4?
No.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think Tua or Fitzmagic, and I'm a big proponent of paying Fitzmagic $4 or $5 million as opposed to giving, you know, $28 million to some guy who's just okay. I'd rather have Fitzmagic at his cost than Goff at his, right? But even so, no, I don't think that's going to get it done, right? I don't think he can stay hot for four games, and they're going to have to play four. Buffalo Bills, contender?
Yes, because I think that Josh Allen could play to a Joe Flacco level for four games.
Yes, I think Josh Allen has proven this year that he can be hot. And is he a Hall of Famer? No, I don't think he'll go down as a Hall of Famer, but I think he can get hot. And I think the rest of the team is good enough to boost him up. Steelers, yes. Browns?
No, I don't see it from Baker Mayfield. They have a really good team, but when they play an actual team of substance, they completely pee down their leg.
Like a lot of the pieces there, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. In a big boy shootout, he's not going to do it. Can Baker Mayfield throw you into the end zone when the other team knows you have to throw? Like Patrick Mahomes may look absolutely easy against the Raiders with under 2 minutes. Yet again proving, hell yes, he can throw you down the field when the other team knows he has to throw you down the field. Are the Ravens good enough? Do you agree with me? I say yes.
Yes, apprehensively, though.
Really? Okay. Okay. I would say the way Lamar Jackson's played of late, agreed. I give him the opportunity to get hot. I give them the opportunity to play from in front. I think Harbaugh is a good enough coach that they may be able to just out-game plan a team in the first round. Next round, get some turnovers and takeaways. And third game, you know, be just, again, a good game plan. I can see the Ravens. I just have a lot of belief in John Harbaugh. Colts, Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
Yes. Titans and Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
I think so, too. I think they could get it done. They got to play from the front, kind of the same story as the Baltimore Ravens. They got to play from the front. And Colts might be the same thing as well, although I think Phillip Rivers has morphed nicely into a bit of a game manager. And I think that is a big boost. 2,600 yards, just 14 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, but most of those 8 interceptions came early. I think he's playing better. I do think the Colts are a threat. Definitely not the Texans or Jags or Bengals, none of those teams. Raiders, can they win?
Yeah, I think that they can. I think that they have enough pieces around Derek Carr and that he could get hot and play 4 good games.
I don't know that their defense is good enough. Do you know that the Raiders only have 11 sacks on the year?
I did not know that, which seems very odd because the team that they've had the most success against getting after the pass rusher is against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it seems like brutally frustrating that they've had the kind of success getting after the quarterback that they've had when they play the Chiefs, right? That's one of the more frustrating things that I think when I look at it and go, how do they get so much pressure on Patrick Mahomes in that first game when they can't pressure anybody else at all? So I'm going to say no on the Raiders. I don't think they're quite good enough. I don't think they can get there.
And I think it's fair, but when evaluating it against the rest of the NFL, if you and I both would agree that the Chiefs are one of the, what, 3-4 best teams in the NFL, and the Raiders have beaten them and then played them consistently close, I think that is enough to bolster them to make them a contender. I guess we're closer than where it seems, but, you know, maybe just inches apart.
Mine may be more prediction than just they're like, can you come up with a scenario where they win? I probably could. I probably could cook something up and get them there. But I'm not. I know Carr's played well, certainly well against the Chiefs. What is he now? 19 touchdowns, 3 INTs after the game against the Chiefs. I'm still not convinced that all around they're good enough defensively with Carr. Like, better defense, like the way they play defense when they play the Chiefs, they look good enough. The way Carr plays against the Chiefs defense, they look good enough. But they don't always play like that. So I'm gonna say no, definitely not on the Broncos or Chargers. Is there anybody in the NFC East that can win the championship?
No.
No.
That's fun,
no.
Though.
No. Packers?
Yes, I think yes. That the Packers are definitely good enough. Rodgers is good enough on his own.
I think they could have a couple of good game plans. Rodgers could save their bacon once, and then one time they need to be plus 2 or 3. They'd be somebody maybe against the Chiefs where they're going to need to have a day. I'm out on the Bears, no. Out on the Vikes, out on the Lions. No chance. Saints?
Depends on the health of Drew Brees. If it's Taysom Hill and or Jameis Winston playing, I say no. I like Sean Payton a lot as a coach. But even if Brees comes back, who knows what kind of shape he's going to be in. So I'm going to say no.
I'll say yes, like thinking that there'll be a healthy Drew Brees, but definitely not with Taysom Hill. I will not rule out Jameis Winston being better coached by Sean Payton. Because Tom Brady never throws picks until now he's with Bruce Arians, and he's on pace for what? He's thrown 8 in 11 games, so he's on pace for about 12. You know, and he's not, by the way, Tom Brady's not having a terrible season, despite what you might hear in the debates that are out there. He's not. But I'm open to the fact that Winston will be better. So maybe if Winston comes in, but definitely not with Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, to me, goes right into the, you know, diet saccharin-infested Lamar Jackson category.
And how much of that was Bobby Kepel effect? I know I'm creating different metaphors or crossing different metaphors.
Program metaphors, though. We did coin these metaphors ourselves.
But the fact that the whole week, nobody had any idea, and then Sean Payton comes out and goes, oh, yeah, I'm playing Taysom Hill, when nobody thought that that's what they were going to do. So I think that there's the shine's going to be off the Saints if Taysom Hill continues to play.
Yeah. So I think they need Breeze, but I think Winston might be able to do it. They can't do it with Taysom Hill. So to be determined. We'll see how healthy Breeze can get coming down the stretch. Bucks, are they good enough?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. No Carolina, no Atlanta. Rams.
No.
You don't believe in Goff?
I don't like Jared Goff. I mean, I guess if he plays a game manager play, well, yeah, I guess because they went to a Super Bowl already. I think they had better weapons on that team, but they have a good enough defense to do it with Aaron Donald. And if he plays game manager and they get the benefit of turnovers, yes, then.
I think the Rams are good enough. I think the Seahawks are good enough. I can't go there with the Cardinals.
No, the Cardinals remind me, Ed, I like what I've seen from Kyler Murray, but they have a little bit of Browns in them.
Yeah, I like that analogy. I like that. And then 49ers, I mean, they're not eliminated at 4-6 if they would suddenly get healthy. I don't think they can get healthy, and I don't think they have everything it takes. I think last year was kind of their charmed year. And I think it was, you know, maybe a little surprising that they got as far as they did with Garoppolo. But, no, I don't see it. Will Jimmy Garoppolo ever play in another Super Bowl? Or is he David Woodley?
I don't see him playing in another Super Bowl again. You have to like him with Kyle Shanahan. And I like at least where his career arc's going better than Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think at some point he's going to recognize that to get back to that situation, I'm not going to have – the lights out defensive line like I did, and the benefit of being the new guy on the scene with play calls and different fortune of just being able to run and not put the ball in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands. So I think at some point the 49ers are going to recognize that and get a better quarterback by whatever means necessary, and Jimmy Garoppolo will kind of bounce around. He'll have four jerseys on his wall by the end of his career.
All right, now, and keep in mind, the question was win the Super Bowl, not just get there. Because think about this. How many quarterbacks have ever gotten to the Super Bowl multiple times without winning it? Now, there's two prominent ones that come right to mind. Jim Kelly, who I think was good enough to win it, just ran into a great Cowboy team twice. A Hall of Fame coach with a red-hot quarterback in the Redskins once. And then a Hall of Fame coach and Bill Parcells and the Giants with some Hall of Fame players on defense. Jim Kelly was good enough to win it. He didn't, right, but four times. And Fran Tarkenton went there three times with the Vikings and didn't win it. Who else? Like, the Super Bowl is if you make that question good enough to get there, you can almost take just about any rummy. Because when you go look up David Woodley and you rest his soul, and you look up guys like Trent Dilfer, I mean, yes, the great teams can get there, and they can even win. Trent Dilfer even won with an incredible team. But there are lots of guys like Jake Delhomme and David Woodley that got there once, Vince Ferragamo. And in that moment, in that season, they seemed like they were pretty good because really they were piloting a great ship. But in reality, you know, they were just, yeah, great talent around them. And when that talent around them eroded a little bit, they became exposed as mediocre or even bad, and the rest of the team was carrying them along. But usually you don't get there multiple times, right? I mean, multiple Super Bowl appearances and lose. I mean, hell, even Dan Marino got there once but never got back. Never got back. Right? I'm not forgetting a second trip for Dan Marino, am I?
No, you're not.
Went against the 49ers in 84, but never got back. You know, David Woodley was the guy who went against the Redskins in 81. Or was that? Yeah, 82. Whatever, right there in the early 80s. Anyway, so... Listen, you start, you know, and if you really say, okay, who do you think's got a shot? All right, well, You know, who would you bank on? Who doesn't need a miracle run? We weed that field down even faster. We get down to just a handful of guys. And let me put it this way. Now think about it this way to really understand the value of Patrick Mahomes. How many guys, how many quarterbacks on other teams could win the Super Bowl playing for this team?
Wow. Oh, gosh. Russell Wilson definitely could.
Right? There's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
You might get a pretty healthy list, but you're not going to get – you're not going to say, you know, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is. I don't think Matt Ryan is. I don't think Matt Stafford is because I think Matt Stafford's a loser after years of trying to push that turd uphill. I don't think he is. I don't think Kirk Cousins is. I mean, that's – so to me, where I started on this was like, okay, who are the challengers for the Chiefs? And is it better to measure it by teams, or is it literally just for the playoff run all about the quarterback? And then I ended up landing on, wait a minute, we can figure out exactly – like the Chiefs are the best team, they're number one or two in every power poll. If you take the quarterback out, where do they rank? We love all the talent. We love what Brett Veach did. We celebrate Brett Veach, and rightfully so, for managing the cap the way he did, and all the support players. But is there really a lot more mortar and not nearly as many bricks as we might think? And it's just that Superman, number 15, is that super? Because Alex Smith was a damn good quarterback, and he never sniffed a Super Bowl on this team. And is the talent on this team really any better than whatever year you want to pick? Is Andy Reid's best pre-Mahomes year with the Chiefs? Is it better than 15 when they crushed the Texans and lost by a touchdown? Tom Bahaly frittering away an interception late that could have given them a chance down 7 to take another shot at it? Is this team around Patrick Mahomes really any better than that one? You know, I got my head got going this direction when I heard Adam Teicher talking with The Zone today with Jason Anderson. And the conversation was about, you know, Adam said, listen, you can't just rely on Patrick Mahomes, right? And Jason and I were chatting afterwards. He said, you know, the only time they did rely on Patrick Mahomes to save their bacon and he didn't do it was the game in 2018 where he scored 51 points against the Rams. Yes, that was one time too many. He was also hit while throwing the ball. And that can and will happen again and probably will happen in a playoff game. But in reality, in every other situation, Mahomes has delivered. Whether he delivered and there was too much time on the clock for somebody else to go get a score, we can talk about how much Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid can actually handle the clock, right? How much they can make sure to score and burn all the time off the clock. I think they you know, that's a far a greatly exaggerated ability for anybody to think that a quarterback or a coach can just say, we're going to score with exactly no time left on the clock. Ideal, but impossible. First, you got to make sure you score. Next, you worry about how much of the clock you can burn off. But to think about how good this team really is and to think about whether or not all we're doing is watching the great quarterback and John Dorsey put together pretty good teams and Veach has put together a comparable one, or is this team actually significantly better around Patrick Mahomes than anything Alex Smith had around him? Or is it just your standard, really good Chiefs team, and it's all about 15? 913-310-810, you're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
It wouldn't stay up. It would stay down. Yeah. It never froze in the up position.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Thank you for joining us here on a foggy, crisp, cold fall day. Feels like Thanksgiving outside. Happy holidays to everybody out there listening. Talking quarterbacks, Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks, Super Bowl caliber teams, and think about this Chiefs team. How many guys in the league right now playing quarterback would have the Chiefs positioned to win a championship? How many guys that are out there would actually win with this team? To me, when you break it down that way, it actually, what you end up finding out is how good is this team really versus how good is Patrick Mahomes. Because if you come to the conclusion, like I do, that I think that there's maybe only two other guys that could quarterback this team right now, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, that would have this team with only one loss. And Russell Wilson's play of late, if you wanted to say Wilson wouldn't have him only with one loss, how many quarterbacks would have beat the Chargers? How many quarterbacks would have beat the Raiders on Sunday? There aren't many of them. Like, there's some that might have beat the Raiders by getting down, getting a field goal, and then if you win the coin toss or maybe get a big play out of the defense or something, yeah, they could have won it. But Patrick Mahomes won it. 6 of 7, 70-odd yards, knifing down, his ability to run, drawing John Abram up. God, was I happy that John Abram was the guy who left his man and screwed it up. I do not like John Abram, for all you Raiders fans. I think he's an ass. And the fact that he gave up the touchdown was just made the victory all the more sweet for me. But it's his threat of run that had Abram roaring up to stop the run. And then he said, nope, here's an absolute, you know, seed to Travis Kelce in the end zone. 913-3-810-810. I think maybe Russell Wilson gets that done because he's a threat to go. I mean, well, Kyler Murray would be a threat. They'd come up for him. Kyler Murray wouldn't have been there with that much time. We saw that. We saw Kyler Murray. Yeah, great. He won with a jump ball to DeAndre Hopkins. That's how he won. That was no jump ball. Patrick Mahomes created a wide-open Travis Kelce. Right? No doubt Kyler Murray will run for some first downs. But Kyler Murray would not have had the Chiefs that far down the field with that much time to be able to make that play. And I dare say if Kyler Murray took off running, he'd have kept running. And he wasn't going to get all the way to the end zone. Russell Wilson's the one guy that might create that same situation and make that same play. 913-3-810-810. Let's go to Jerry. You're in the program, Jerry. What's going on?
Thoughts, Ren. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Mahomes is the only one who can do it, probably, in my opinion. But just to kind of go on an offtake, not to take anything away from anybody else, but with Mahomes being that good, why doesn't Reed allow him to go in a hurry up a lot more? I mean, don't get me wrong, they're scoring crazy, but I'd say Mahomes is good enough to do whatever he wants to do on the field, if you wouldn't agree.
I think a couple of reasons. I think it's a great question, right? But I think there are potentially real answers. And let me give you two that come to my mind immediately. Number one,
yes,
I've said
thank
this.
You.
Yeah, you bet. And thank you for the call, Jerry. And thank you for the kind words about the program. Two things that come to mind immediately. Number one, what was the game, Jed? What was the game that was real hot? Oh, it was the Raider game. It was the Raider game, the loss to the Raiders. I thought the Chiefs looked like they weren't in as good of shape as the Raiders. Now, the Raiders held training camp in Las Vegas, and the Chiefs held training camp in Kansas City. And it wasn't a cool summer, but it wasn't a hot summer by Kansas City standards either. And they looked like they were gassed. I've seen other times that I think the Chiefs are gassed. And I'm going to tell you, just you know, like I coach Little League basketball. You got a couple of options. Do you want to be the team, you know, you want to be that coach that runs them up and down the court? We're never going to be out of gas. They're not going to outwork us. Hey, that's real. That's a real strategy. Being the better conditioned team and fresher at the ends of games and having that endurance and stamina, that's real, man. That's a real advantage. If you've dug a 20-point hole, screw you. Who cares? You can have your practices run all practice the whole time, and so your team can run up and down the floor. But if you don't have any half-court plays, if you can't inbound under the goal and maybe steal a couple of gimmies, if you don't have a way to get the ball out of a superior ball handler's hands, if you don't have a zone to go up against when you're, you know, two best players are in foul trouble and you can't take them off the floor, but you still got to play some defense, then who cares how conditioned you are, right? So that's one of the things I hear. I hear a lot of coaches, and even on up into the higher levels, I think it's less in the NFL, right? Now I think they figured this out. But it's all about just being tough. We're going to be tougher. We're going to be better conditioned. You know what? Sports is beyond that. Like, players have to be conditioned on their own, and then coaches got to think for them, right? Coaches got to come up with the ways to beat them, to outthink them, and to put them in position to succeed. And coaches got to have them to where when you come up with these creative plays, they've had enough times to run it that they can run it effectively. And I think Andy Reid's practices are not spent running up and down the field. Now, I think the guys do a pretty good job of getting in shape themselves. But out of, like, I think the Chiefs are league average in conditioning. And that's not a slight. That's actually a good thing. Because there's only so many minutes, so many reps, so many hours of practice each week. There's only so many minutes, reps, and hours of practice each training camp. Right? And I think Andy Reid, because we hear, how often do we hear when you, like, there's a play and it's like, oh, yeah, how did that play come about? Well, we actually started on it in training camp. And, you know, we put it in and we ran it a couple of times there, and then we've been running it for the last 2 weeks. Right? Like, you want to be the best conditioned team? Well, Andy Reid's got to sacrifice some of the plays he comes up with. I don't want that. I'll take an average to slightly below average conditioned team that can outthink you, can out-execute you. And so when you say, okay, hurry up offense. So my point, what's the conditioning? If you're going to play that style, everybody's got to be in shape. Your linemen got to be in shape. You got to be able to hurry up to the line. You got to be able to play a ton of snaps. And I don't think Andy Reid, I think he would sacrifice a lot of the creativity and a lot of the execution of that creativity if they were in the kind of physical condition it would take to play hurry-up offense. So, number one, I think he sees it as a waste. Number two, if you run all those plays, right, I think one of the reasons they're so good in the hurry-up is they have their hurry-up offense. But if you show the hurry-up offense to them down after down after down, drive after drive after drive, in game after game after game, defenses will be ready. You know, if you have that, I'll take it to basketball. If you have that perfect inbounds play, you don't run it every time. You run it when you got to have a bucket. That's when you break that one out. The one you know you got to have. That's when you break that one out. Okay, here it is. We're running this one. The swinging gate, whatever it is. That's kind of like that great inbounds play that you save for when you have to have a bucket is a little bit like what the two-minute offense is for the Chiefs, in my opinion. Now, am I right on this? I don't know. Got a couple of pretty good theories that sound good to me. I believe it. I think it's part of it. And if we ever get to a point where we can ask Andy Reid more than one question, you know, three questions a week as individuals, then maybe we'll get a chance to get to the bottom of that. But I think those are at least something. They at least play a part in it for Andy Reid. 913-810-810. We'll take a break. Come back. More of your phone calls next here in the program. Got Tim Grunhardt coming up next. We'll talk some more football with Grunny, football insider, sometimes life coach, the great Tim Grunhardt coming up in our next segment. 913-810-810, the phone number. Talking Chiefs football, quarterbacking, championship caliber teams. Ron, waiting patiently. You're on the program, Ron. What's going on, buddy?
Two quick comments. I'll listen off the air. Okay. Number one, Derek Carr, listen to his post game. And I thought, by what he was saying, he was comparing himself to Mahomes and pretty much putting himself on the same plane as Mahomes. I don't know if you heard the post-news conference, but it kind of struck me funny that he would put himself right up there with Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think it's close. And number two, what do you think of the statement that Joe Buck made Sunday at the Green Bay game? He said that the quarterback for Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, is the premier quarterback in the NFL. I will listen to you off the program. Thank you.
All right, you bet, and thanks for the call. Let's start with Joe Buck, and I'll come back around to Derek Carr. You know, Aaron Rodgers appears on their network. Patrick Mahomes generally appears on CBS. That line has been blurred a little bit, especially with the COVID, on how they have to trade some games back and forth. Look, Rodgers is playing at a really high level. I mean, he's the only guy QBR-wise. Him and Patrick Mahomes kind of go back and forth. Some weeks one's in front of the other. Right now, Patrick Mahomes is carrying an 85.3, Rodgers an 83.8. Third best, Drew Brees, 81.9. Derek Carr is fourth, by the way, at 78.8, to get to your other point here in a second. Listen, I disagree with it, but I can't call it preposterous. Aaron Rodgers has been a champion. He has been an MVP. His numbers are immaculate. And, you know, we may look back if let's say the Chiefs get upset in the divisional round this year. Salary cap starts to cost them some talent. Next year they go to the AFC Championship game but don't get to the Super Bowl. And then the cap hits really hit for Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce's in his late 30s and maybe dinged up only playing 6-7 games a year because he's always hurt because now he's 34, 35, but still carrying a big cap number. Tyreek Hill's lost a step. He's playing 7-8 games a year because of the hits that happen to a player's career. They haven't quite been able to turn over that talent. And Patrick Mahomes is gutting out and pulling still the same 2, 3, 4 wins a year out, but it's getting them their 9th, 10th, maybe 11th win. They're going out on the road just in playoff games. He's having to play from behind in all these games because they don't have the kind of talent. He may look exactly like Aaron Rodgers, right? I don't think so. And, yes, I can be accused of being a homer by anyone who's a Packer fan, and I'm a Chiefs fan, so I'm not going to run from that. But what I love, I've always said till now that Aaron Rodgers was the best thrower of the football I've ever seen. And I will still say that Aaron Rodgers has a level of accuracy on big-time throws that is beyond, consistently beyond Patrick Mahomes. But Mahomes is 25 years old, and he's right behind him. And he has some strength of arms. And actually, I'll tell you what else Mahomes has that he doesn't get credit for. There are lots of guys that have, you know, I used to say I don't know how Trent Green walks with the kind of stones that he walks around with because he would stand in and take monster shots. Great offensive line. And he used it. He'd hold the ball, giving his guys time, and then they're coming free, and he would step right into a big hit and deliver the ball, right? Aaron Rodgers has that. Patrick Mahomes has it, and then some more, right? Some more in the sense that, and this is one where I really do worry about how he lifts, that he lifts more like a linebacker and less like a quarterback, and I think that may end up causing him back injuries, hip injuries, knee injuries, watching him lift 100-pound dumbbells, I'm like, no, please, somebody take that out of his hand. There's no reason to be jerking around risking that right shoulder with a 100-pound dumbbell in your hand. There is no exercise that improves his ability to throw a football that requires a 100-pound dumbbell. So while I'm terrified of the way he – and I'm an injury freak, I'm always worried, right? Every pitcher – when Zach Greinke was in the Cy Young year and he'd sit out there twisting and pulling on his jersey, I'm like, oh, crap, is he hurt? I couldn't watch a game without thinking Greinke was hurt 4 times a game. So I'm a chronic worrier when it comes to injuries. So file that away. But the heavy lifting and the being a big, thick guy, he stands in and takes hits, and he is delivering the ball. There were 2 or 3 throws, because I was talking about it with my buddies when we were sitting outside watching the game on Sunday. I said, look, the guy's already on – the hit is already occurring. The guy's got one arm clear around him and getting the shoulder into his ribs, and he's just now beginning to deliver the ball, and he completes the pass, right? He not only is tough enough to take the hits, he's taking the hits and still delivering throws. That's something Aaron Rodgers can't do. He doesn't have that kind of sturdy base, you know, that Patrick Mahomes does. So, look, I respect Joe Buck's opinion. I'm not the Joe Buck hater that so many people are. I think it's a little bit of hyperbole based on the game he's playing. But if we're wrong in Kansas City and everywhere else where we think Patrick Mahomes is definitively the number one quarterback, there's only 2 guys that might be better, and it's Russell Wilson and it's Aaron Rodgers. So I think he's wrong, but I'm not offended by the statement. I'd like to have the argument. I'd like to get his points as to why I think he's, you know, extensively. I'd like to have the debate and hear what it is he thinks makes him better, and I'd like to give him my points as to why I think Mahomes is better and see let the court of public opinion decide who's right on that one. And I might even digress. He might say, hey, see this play and see this one, and that's what Mahomes can't do yet, and that's what makes him better. And I might go, huh, okay, good point. I doubt it, though. I do think Mahomes is better, but I don't think it's an insult. As to David Carr, like I said, QBR, he's 4th. Early on, he was check down Charlie. Against the Chiefs, at least, he's making down-the-field throws, big throws down the field, getting it done. You know, he has taken his game to a whole new level. He talked about the fact that this is the first time he's played in the same system for 3 years, and he gets it now. He gets why Brady was so great. He now knows where everything is. It's second nature. He's not having to think through his progressions. He's reacting through his progressions. They've given him talent. I disagree a little bit with what Chris Collinsworth, or was it Collinsworth who was saying? Somebody said they've got a better, they have a better running back. I'm not willing to go there. They've got a really good one, and so do the Chiefs. They said they've got a better tight end or a more athletic tight end. Okay, maybe Waller's slightly more athletic than Kelce. I don't think he's better, though. I think Kelce's knowledge of offense and angles and ability to shake loose early, recognize it early so that the quarterback doesn't throw thinking he's going to stay with the route that's called. The Chiefs clearly have some option routes and some read and react routes. But he makes those decisions. He gets the read early and goes. I think the problem with DeMarcus Robinson is he hesitated, right? The pick, if you ask me whose fault is it, in this offense, it's DeMarcus Robinson's fault. In another offense, it'd be the quarterback. But this offense, everybody knows that they've got some options. But you've got to declare the option fairly quick. You've got to see where you want to go quickly. And he kind of went one way, back another, then another. You get one change. And Travis Kelce's nails on that. But he's got really good talent. Derek Carr, again, has really good talent with the Raiders. He hasn't yet been able to get Ruggs to be a Tyreek Hill because he doesn't have that arm. But he's feeling pretty good. He's playing his best football. He's confident. And while I disagree with him, no, he's not the equal to Mahomes. But when he takes the field, if I'm John Gruden, I want him to think he is. In fact, I want him to think he's better than Mahomes. And John Gruden may be telling him that, and maybe that's been the final piece of the puzzle to get Derek Carr to play his best football.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
Jared Goff completed 39 passes last night on Monday Night Football, tying him for second with Tom Brady for second most. Wow, that was not good. Who's first? Nevertheless, great food from Jazz is yours if you know.